process, right? It's not like he's back there having to, he's not ready for you, or he doesn't have all the ingredients that he needs. Listen, the Lord's ready. It's you that he's getting ready. It's not like the Lord is having to prepare some things, okay? God is already prepared. It's you that he's trying to prepare. And so that's what we're looking at here, because up until this point, we have been talking about Joseph being neglected. We've been talking about Joseph being in affliction. We've talked about Joseph being forgotten about. And now things are starting to change here when we get into chapter 42 of what we just, or excuse me, chapter 41 of what we just read here in Genesis. So sometimes we say, well, why did God wait so long? You ever wondered that? You ever wondered, Lord, why did you wait so long to answer that prayer? Why did you wait so long to finally give us victory over the thing, or to give me help, or to give me this, or give me that? And the answer is, folks, I can't really tell you. Only God knows. We're going to look at some things here that I do believe that God is doing and using through those things. But the Bible does give us some insights, I believe, on why he does those things. Now, keep in mind, up until this point, Joseph has been betrayed and sold to Potiphar by his own brother, or into slavery, but by his own brothers. Then he was in Potiphar's house, so he was really forgotten by his brothers. He was done wrong by Potiphar and his household. He was forgotten about by the butler. But here's one important thing. His brothers forgot him. His master forgot him. Somebody he helped along the way forgot him. But guess who didn't forget him? The Lord didn't forget him, folks. We kept emphasizing that verse, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. We've seen that multiple times. The Lord was with him. We know at the end of the story that God meant it for good. So we may be forgotten, we may be neglected, we may be done wrong, but God has not forgotten. And so we're starting to see some of that, his patience. We're starting to see some of his dreams come true, is what we're reading here. Of course, as we go back and just as a quick review, Joseph had a dream of what God was going to use him for in a leader back in Genesis 37. Joseph's brothers hated him, threw him in a pit, sold him as a slave. As a slave, he was accused of attempting to seduce Potiphar's wife, and he ended up in prison. And then, of course, we know most recently he was forgotten about by the butler. So it was out of a lot of suffering that has brought him to this point. Now, when you wait for something for a while, if we are completely honest with ourselves, church, don't you appreciate it more? After you have suffered for a while, after you have endured, and then God answers that prayer, is it not true that you appreciate it? And I believe that during that time that God has allowed, if you have allowed God to work in your heart, that God has done something in your life. First of all, he has strengthened your faith. Second of all, I believe that he'll give you an attitude of gratitude where you can say, Lord, praise God. And of course, along with that is the praise. And you now, your perspective on things has changed concerning the situation because you really appreciate it. Now, it's kind of like, too, with as parents or grandparents with our kids, you know, if they ask for something and it's something, you know, hey, that's kind of pricey. I don't know if we're just going to go out and buy that. Something maybe we need to think about, pray about. Is this something we even want to do? And, if every time they ask for something, you give it to them right away, do children learn to appreciate things? No, they don't. But what about after they wait? Or maybe you say, why don't you earn some money and pay for it, right? Or, that's something that I'm not going to buy right now. Maybe Christmas or maybe birthday, right? And then they learn to wait and they appreciate it. The other thing, this is just a side note. I have learned that when kids have sort of investment in that thing, if they have helped pay for it, I call it, or as it was referred to by a friend of ours, having some skin in the game, they treat it a little bit differently, don't they? They tend to take care of it differently because, hey, they had to do something to get that. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, don't break my toy. Don't break my, don't step on my shoes. You're going to get them dirty. Don't iron my shirt. You know, whatever the case is that they wanted, right? they take care of them a lot better. So when God comes to this place and He finally answers that prayer and He gives us that, not only do we appreciate it, but I think that we have a whole different attitude about it. And so that's part of what I believe that God is doing, just a little bit of insight. As we study along here, we'll look at, first of all, when we're talking about, again, the life of Joseph when dreams come true, we've seen the providential ways of God. Now, as we read along in this chapter, things start to change. What we've read so far is Pharaoh's dream. Let's read a little bit more here in the chapter. Of course, we're going to be kind of bouncing around through the chapter here. But let's read down to verse 23 for just a moment. In verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved him and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. So we've read about Joseph or Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh has heard all of a sudden about Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. Verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, even through it all, this isn't part of the main theme for today, but even through it all, do you notice his attitude? Well, what I don't see, sometimes, church, what's a blessing is what you don't see. What I don't see is Joseph saying, well, it's about time. Right? Well, it's about time. Well, I see that you finally decided to do the right thing, Chief Butler. You finally decided to mention my name after all that I did for you. I don't see anywhere where Joseph said, well, you know, Pharaoh, I am very talented in dream interpretation. That wasn't his attitude, church. Did you notice what he said? He said, Pharaoh, it is not in me. He said, King, it's not me. It's the Lord. The Lord's going to bring you the message of peace. It's not me. Verse 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood at the bank of the river. And he tells him the thing. Skip down to verse 23. And behold, seven ears with answer thin and blasted within the east spring, sprung after them in thin ears, endowed the seven good years. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. So he tells him the dream, and he acknowledges that there's none that can interpret it for him. Verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good years are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin are ill-favored kind, and came up after them the 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do. He hath showed unto thee. Behold, verse 29, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by any reason of the famine followed, for it shall be very grievous. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the things established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather together all the foods of the goods that come, and lay the corner or on the corn under the land of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. So what's happening here is he's interpreting the dream, and then he has given him a particular plan. In verse 39, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise under there. Thou shalt be over my house according to thy word, shall all my people be ruled, only in thy throne will I be greater than thou. So you see what just happened here? Joseph's dreams are starting to come true that God was going to use him as a great leader. Joseph literally just went from prison to second in command. In just a matter of minutes. I mean, if you think about this, and we kind of were skipping down and didn't even read the whole story and the interpretation and how Joseph was interpreting the dream. In just a matter of minutes, the tides have turned dramatically for Joseph. Church, what a great reminder that when God providentially provides for us, what God can do in just a moment, what God can do for us in just an instant. And there's a great example after all these years of waiting, what God can do. I did read some of this that, you know, it's estimated that Joseph was in prison anywhere from 10 to 12 years approximately. There's different ideas. We don't know exactly, but it's estimated by many theologians that he was actually in prison for 10 to 12 years. But there was a certain time frame that if he was released sooner, then he would have been back in Potiphar's house. And then after a certain time frame, I'm not sure if it was 7 years or 10 years, but after a certain time frame, then he's released from that accountability, if you will, that he would have had to Potiphar's house. So the question is, we were wondering, why does God wait so much? But the reality is, God's timing is always perfect, friend. And I believe that God knew that. If he was released sooner than he should have been, then he would have went right back to Potiphar's house. And so from God's point of view, he was still doing the work. He was still doing the preparation. And actually, he was protecting Joseph because he wasn't ready to be released. Otherwise, he would have went right back to Potiphar's. And that didn't work out too well before, did it? You know, sometimes we wonder, you know, it's kind of funny. This morning we woke up and we get in the van. We're all ready to go. And we get in the van and it doesn't start. Click, 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 don't start. You're like, oh boy, here we go. And so there's two things that you can do here. You can be upset that your vehicle didn't start, or you can be thankful that you got another vehicle to hop into and get on down the road. The only part that was bugging me is like, well, I'm running late. You know, we were trying to figure out what's going on with the van. Now I'm running behind, and I generally like to be here at least an hour before, if possible. Now I'm not here an hour before. It's not what I prefer. It's not what I like. But then I got to thinking, you never know what the Lord was protecting our family from within those 30 minutes that we were running behind. What if there was a person that just happened to be driving on our side of the road, and God was protecting us because maybe it's a battery. I don't know what it is. I didn't have any more time to fool with it. Maybe God was protecting me, not letting us leave the house any sooner because of what he was trying to do. We'll never know. We see here and why ask questions, why didn't God allow Joseph out of jail? Well, one perspective and one reason I think is because he would have ended up back in Potiphar's house. The other reason is that because it wasn't the right time. If he had been let out before, I wonder where he would have went. If he had been let out of prison before, not only would he have probably ended up in Potiphar's house, but would he have gone back to Israel and then not been there at the moment when Pharaoh was having this dream and at a place of desperation that he goes and seeks out a Hebrew for help to interpret the dream? Joseph would have been long gone, and thus God wouldn't have had the opportunity to promote him in such a manner. You see, it was in God's timing. God was protecting Joseph. God was preparing Joseph, and God was waiting for the right moment when he knew that Pharaoh would be looking for a man who could interpret this dream. Friend, we never understand God's timing on things. All I can tell you is that God knows and that God has a reason. So God has providential ways of providing for us, as we've seen here. What we've seen here was only something that God can do. How can you explain to me that a guy, can you imagine a guy coming out of Florence prison and then he became Vice President of the United States of America? It's something that only God could do, I believe. I mean, you know, can you imagine, first of all, the politics behind it? He goes straight from prison, I mean, literally released from prison, and then he goes to the White House to help the president with the problem, and the president says, you know what? I didn't really like my vice president before anyway. Now I'm going to make you VP. You're second in command. Do you realize that's the magnitude of what happened to Joseph? Came out of Florence prison, became vice president. That's only something God can do. That's a pretty amazing story if you think about it. I mean, have you ever thought about the significance of that? So we see, first of all, the providential ways of God. Second of all, we're going to see the perfect wisdom of God. Going back to verses 14 through 16, as Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Of course, he's talking about Hero, and then he says, that's where Joseph answered we just read about. But I want you to say something here, that oftentimes when we're put in this kind of position, I do think that if you're not careful, this is when some of the lies of the devil are whispering in your ear saying, you shouldn't help them at all. None of the Egyptians have helped you. They've been nothing but trouble for you. Look at Potiphar. Look at the butler. You were thrown in jail. You were sold into slavery. And if we're not careful, friend, a lot of times we can start to believe the lies of the devil. But yet, it's the wisdom of God, again, on the timing. And that's what he said, it is not as me. God shall give Pharaoh the answer of peace. So really, Joseph was pointing to the wisdom of God. Joseph used this opportunity to embrace the knowledge and the wisdom and the word of God. So the second thing is that we want to point out, we're talking about, of course, how God provides, but then also the wisdom of God, is that that's actually what Joseph was doing. He relied on the wisdom of God. He said, it wasn't me, Pharaoh. Let me tell you about what God says about this. Let me tell you what God's going to do. And even mentioned there, as we read, that the Lord shall bring this to pass very soon. So there's another lesson there, church, is that one, we wait for God to provide. But second of all, embrace the wisdom of God. When you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, you say, friend, you know, I don't have an answer, but I do believe God does. I can't tell you everything that I'm able to do, but I can tell you what God can do. And that's where Joseph lived. That's where he resided. You say, well, he was in prison. He was here. No, I believe that's where he lived, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually speaking. And friend, where you live, I'm not as concerned about your address as much as the place in your relationship and your faith concerning you and the Lord. You can live in strong faith and be in the jungles of South America. You can have strong faith in prison. You can have strong faith in the nicest house in Arizona. We're concerned about the wisdom of God and what God can do in the Word of God, no matter what circumstance that you're facing. And often it's in those times where I think that we have a great opportunity to even point people to God. And I believe that's part of what Joseph did. He planted a seed and pointed things back to God. So we've mentioned as we're going along here, the providential ways of God, the perfect wisdom of God. And then the last thing we want to mention is the plain will of God. The plain will of God. Back in verses 25 through 28, then Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. In other words, God just revealed something to you, Pharaoh. Can I add this? When God reveals something to you, I really believe that's a sign of God's blessing. Now you say, well, if you study the scriptures, you'll see that times that God revealed something that wasn't a blessing. Yes, but God revealed it maybe as an opportunity for somebody to get right. In fact, if you fast forward to the book of Daniel, another fellow who interpreted dreams, don't you remember the writing on the wall? Don't you think that maybe that could have been an opportunity for the king to get down on his knees and beg for mercy from Almighty God? You say, well, that was a bad interpretation. How is that not a blessing? I believe God was giving him a chance. I do. We know that God has got a mercy. Do we not believe that if Nebuchadnezzar had humbled himself before God and begged for forgiveness and begged for mercy, don't you think God would have been gracious? I'm not God, but I believe that God in that circumstance would have done that. How many times do we see in the scripture where people beg God for mercy and beg God for help and God responds? He didn't do that. So what I'm telling you, again, further emphasizes our point, when God reveals something to you or shows something to you, that's a sign of God's blessing and it can also be a sign of God's mercy. How many people do we know that were in horrible, tragic accident or near life experience, and they took that as a sign from the Lord? The Lord was showing me that I need to make some things right, or I need to get saved, or I need to get in church, or I need to get back where I need to be. God was using that. God revealed something to you. Hey, you better give it to me. because time's running short. And this is not my testimony. I'm going by their word and their belief that what God showed them is that the Lord revealed this to me. God showed me this. And I believe that if I had not obeyed the Lord in that moment, that God would have killed me. If I had continued on the path that I was on, that I wouldn't have been spared. So you see, sometimes even through bad circumstances, God reveals things to us and he's trying to show us something. That's a sign of God's blessing. Even to a wicked king. Here, this was a sign of God's blessing. Verse number 28, this is a thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. He made it clear and emphasized again about what God is about to do. When God reveals his will to us, again, we just mentioned how it's a blessing. But we have a duty and a responsibility, church, when God reveals his will to us. Now, the whole study of God's will, we don't have time to look at all, but let me just hit a couple of highlights, two or three. First of all, I want you to know that the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what does that mean, Pastor? It means that God's number one will for your life is for you to be saved. For you to be saved. There's nothing more important. In fact, if you have a desire to come to church, I'm so glad. If you're here today because you had a desire to follow the Lord's will, I'm glad that you said, I know the Lord wants me to go to church. I know the Lord wants that we worship here in God's house. I'm so glad to hear here. That is part of God's will for your life, for the record. But the most important thing in your life, even more important than church, and I'm not trying to say that coming to church is not important. I'm saying the most important thing is that you be saved. God's number one will for your life, friend, is that you be saved. Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to also know that according to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, God wants you to understand what the Lord's will is. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes people think, well, God's made a heart. He hasn't. Look at the Word of God. So first of all, we've established that, number one, it's to be saved. And second of all, we start to see some other things in the Bible. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they that gladly received, in other words, received Christ, were baptized and then added to the church. There's a simple process there. Now, there's not a process to salvation. Please do not confuse that. Do not confuse that with what I'm about to emphasize as part of God's will for your life. Salvation is salvation. After salvation, God's will that you be baptized and added to the church. Okay? That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. If you study it out, you'll see it's exactly what happened. First of all came salvation, then they were baptized, then they were added to the church. Okay? We call it church membership. The Bible referred to as added to the church. It's essentially the same concept. That is part of God's will for your life. The Bible also says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, sanctification is a process of spiritual growth. Sanctification is getting more holy and set apart for God's purposes, drawing closer to the Lord. And for the record, we are all in the process now of sanctification. Do not confuse, again, sanctification with salvation. Salvation is salvation. You don't earn that. That's by the grace of God. Sanctification is something you do as you grow as a Christian. Okay? Now, if you were saved today and you were gone tomorrow, but you didn't really have time to get closer to the Lord, you're still going to heaven. Because you were saved. You were saved today, and you didn't have time to come back next Sunday to be baptized because the Lord took you home, you're still going to heaven. If you were saved today, and you didn't get time to join the church, you're still going to heaven. But it is the Lord's will that you be baptized, added to the church, and that you continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for the record, you never stop growing. You never stop growing. You never stop getting closer to the Lord. There's always something in our life that God wants to show us, another lesson, another area in our life that God is trying to teach us. You never stop growing. So there's a simple four-step process about the Lord's will for your life. We'll close with this and emphasize that verse again in Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Blessed are they that wait for him. So we see the blessings that came in Joseph's life, can you imagine if he would have thrown his hands up, say, I quit? This is enough. You know, the Bible tells us that he was a trusted prisoner, that they put the other prisoners in his charge. That means that he probably had the keys to the prison. That means he probably got to go outside and do some of the outside activities. So why does that? Because he could have escaped if he wanted to. He could have said, nobody's going to help me. Nobody cares. I'm out of here. I'll run to Israel. They'll never find me. I'll get back under the protection of my dad. They'll never get to me. He never did that. He waited on the Lord, and then his dreams are starting to come true. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your goodness, grace. Thank you for this hour of Sunday school, this time of Sunday school. Thank you again for all those able to be here today. We continue to ask for your blessing from the service. In Jesus' name, amen.